Tom, if we put you in a gym, how many 3-pointers out of 10 would you make?
Oh, 3 or 4, maybe. That might be a stretch, Greggs. I'll be honest.
All right.
When I play basketball, I basically shoot like Shaq, and it's just a straight line to the hoop. And my
not
odds
a lot of arc
making
is
those,
what you're saying.
Not a lot of arc at all. And yeah, that's not a good equation to sink in buckets, if you will.
All right. So, what about if I put you in the low slot? In hockey, like they do in the All-Star game, and you had the 4 corners to pick. How many of them would you hit? How many shots would it take you to hit all 4?
4 or 5, seriously. I mean, I think there's a lot of us around.
Four or five?
To hit all 4? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, even with a timer, I could get that. I think a lot of people around here could. We've got a lot of good hockey players around this city.
Jeez, I watched the guys in the All-Star game, and very few of them are getting 4 out of 4.
I think I could do it.
Well, you might have to do this. I'm going to have to get some videos out for this one.
Bring it on.
Oh, yeah, you and Strutty. Strutty's like, oh, I'm going to hit with no one around. What did he say? I think he said he could get – what did he say, Connor? Did he get 6 out of 10 from 3-point range?
Yeah, he had it pretty high because he thought he could get on – like get heat up and start to just drain them and consecutively.
Just heat up.
Well, if his ankle holds up, we know how he is on the court, right?
Yeah, well, hey, if his ankles, he does kind of have weak ankles, right? I'm not sure what's weaker, Strutty's ankles or Rashog's back. That would be a medical marvel to look at those two and see which one's better or worse. Interesting things going on here. Let's start because I know you're a big soccer guy as well. But there's a lot of teams that now Liverpool and many others that they're releasing. They've refused to release Mohamed Salah to Egypt over quarantine restrictions. And people, I think if there's Mexico, any of those like the red countries, they're deemed red where there's real high cases of COVID right now. Some of these Premier Leagues aren't releasing their players right for CONCACAF. So it's got some pretty big potential impacts here. So it's kind of fascinating to watch.
International ramifications, and I'm sure the player wants to go with his heart and play for his nation, like Salah for Egypt and qualify the team for the World Cup, and he's a great player. And then you've got Liverpool that's pumping all this money, and he's an investment to them, and they don't want to deal with the ramifications of a 10-day quarantine, like you said, going to a country that's deemed red in terms of COVID, and then having to come back and isolate for 10 days, miss 2 matches for Liverpool if he were to go play for Egypt. So some real ramifications here where the team is just sent a polite letter to Egypt's soccer body and said, unfortunately, we're not releasing him to let him play for this qualifier. And that's to a huge detriment to the Egyptian side, obviously. But it's gotten to that point, Greggs. And I think we're going to, like you said, see more of this. But now you're seeing these teams say, nope, we're going to protect our asset. We need him in the lineup for the next 2 games. I think they're going into Champions League right away here. And so all of a sudden, they're keeping him, and the club team rules over the national team, and it looks like the player is on board with it. So some real ramifications, interesting to see. And the other thing, too, I was surprised is I'm sure Egypt's not too happy about it, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of vitriol or pushback from their soccer body or their football body towards Liverpool. Like, it's just kind of an understanding. Well, yeah, I mean, you're paying millions upon millions of pounds for this guy. So we respect and understand that to a certain degree. I'm sure they're furious behind the scenes, but here we are. We're seeing it on the world stage in soccer, even at the World Cup level. Incredible.
Yeah, and unfortunate for Canada, they won't have some of their big guys going to CONCACAF either. But like, I'm fascinated to watch Canada moving forward. Obviously, with the 2 young stars offensively, and just kind of see where we go as a nation. And they're still not the confirmed yet if Canada's going to get to host or be one of the hosts. It's going to be a shared hosting or not yet, but man, it would be unreal to see the men in the World Cup. Obviously, we've seen the women have great success. Just won the Olympic gold medal, awesome. So I'd like to see the men at least get into the World Cup for sure. You know, I think a men's Olympic gold medal is a long time away, if maybe never, to be honest. But we'll see how that goes. Now, Tommy, have you ever worked with someone that you ended up leaving work with, like going to another company? But then you had to work with them again, and you might have maybe sewered them when you left for a few years, thinking, "Oh, I'm never going to have to work with that person again." Have you had to be Everson Griffin, who was he was with the Vikings, then he left, and he ripped on Kirk Cousins, and now he's back with the Vikings, and he's like, "Well, I'm going to have to apologize, Kirk Cousins."
Yeah, tail between his legs, coming back with a little humble pie. I have not, fortunately. There's a few people in the past that I have worked with that I would love to have let them have a piece of my mind. I'm sure all of us feel that same sentiment towards some in our past that we've worked with. However, I refrained, thankfully. Don't want to burn those bridges. But yeah, how about Everson Griffin? He's going to have a talk with Kirk Cousins to apologize with him man to man, which I respect. But it's interesting because even Mike Zimmer, like he put Mike Zimmer on the spot. He's like, ask him about it. And this was months ago after he finished up his stint with the Cowboys and the Lions last season. And basically he came crawling back publicly saying he wanted to go back to Minnesota where he had his best seasons. And finally Minnesota brought him back yesterday, I believe it was. And so now, like Greg's, even to the point where he reached out to the radio guy for the team saying, I want to come back and to put the word out there publicly to get him back. And it's going to happen. But yeah, awkward. And some people are wondering too, if this is a sign of maybe the Vikings and Mike Zimmer being like, hey, kind of like a backhanded slap to Kirk Cousins because of all the public outcry he's created and controversy, if you will, with his approach to COVID-19. A couple weeks ago, he had a statement where he's like, well, I'll put plexiglass around my locker in the locker room stall. And people are like, that's not really how it works, homie. So this just creates a bunch of controversy, but nope, haven't burnt that bridge. Obviously, Everson Griffin has, but he's coming back to Mini where he wants to play. And you know what? They can own up to it man to man, and then whatever they feel, they can deal with it mano a mano.
Tom Cazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, we're starting our Pacific preview. We focused on the San Jose Sharks earlier today, and they didn't make a ton of changes, obviously in goal, which might be significant because their goaltending has arguably been the worst in the NHL for the last few seasons combined overall. It's just Martin Jones just haven't got it done. Hasn't been close. So they bring in Aiden Hill, who's a young guy out of Arizona, who they feel is on the uptake. They got in James Reimer, who's pretty consistent in what he can give you, you know, 35 to 40 games. He's not going to be great, but he's definitely not going to be sub 900, at least historically. Yeah, he hasn't been. So when you look at the Sharks, and they've got their same six defense basically as last year, you know, lots of their top forwards are the same. They didn't really make a ton of changes other than goal. Do you think it's enough for them to be a playoff team, or are we going to see the Sharks, you know, moving a guy like Hurdle, who's a UFA at the deadline, you know, and maybe making some other big changes, and then, of course, deciding what they're going to do with Evander Kane?
Yeah, not going to be enough, Gregs. You know, hopefully it's going to be interesting to see Noah get his shot, which is cool. I know that tugs on your heartstrings, and we all root him on, too, at 1260, but it doesn't seem like a team that's going to make a big push here in what should be a weaker Pacific division. I really feel like it probably will be. These California teams, and it's odd to say it because it took about 20 years for all three of them to be at the bottom of the standings in their respective divisions, coming back to the Pacific now. So, yeah, this San Jose team hasn't done a lot to improve. You're right about the goaltending. Aiden Hill is one of those guys. I think I threw it out there on a pregame show midway through the season last year where I was like, would that be someone to the fans and to our listeners that they would consider bringing in for the Oilers to be the future goalie, maybe a bridge guy for the next guy, although he's young enough where maybe he could take the ball and run with it for a bunch of years. Clearly the Sharks think that he has that potential because they went out and got him. We'll see how that goes. But, I mean, a good goalie can only do so much. He can stop pucks, It's hard to make the third and fourth save when you're getting bombarded. We saw that with Cam Talbot and Mikko Koskinen in what, 18, 19, even a bit in 17, 18, where they were just getting shelled. And so if they can clear pucks in front, maybe that gives the Sharks a hope. But I think it's going to be tough sledding for this team. Fortunately, there's an expansion team, which might be weak, is going to probably have a tough time scoring goals looking at their roster in Seattle. And then you've got the Anaheim Ducks, who basically did nothing this offseason. And I don't know how they're even going to tread water, to be honest with you. So I think the Kings are a little bit ahead of the Sharks. But this is a team, and then you want to throw another little wrench into their plans is what happens with Evander Kane. We've seen the stories coming out about Kane, how his teammates basically don't even want him there, what kind of sideshow it's created, even though he was their best player last year. How does that affect this team moving forward? Because it doesn't seem like it's a good situation whatsoever, and it's just problem after problem. And if that creates some toxicity, Gregs, that can sink a already shaky ship.
Yeah, because it's interesting as I've been going through and I've been doing this, well, only for the last day that I got back because I really try to get away from work when I'm on holidays. But, I mean, looking at the amount of moves certain teams make in the Pacific Division only specifically, and, like, Edmonton's made quite a few changes on their team, and fairly significant ones. Like, you look at the upgrade they made at forward is I can't even overplay how significant it is, because it's massive for this team. The you know, Fogle, Hyman, you know, the potential of Holloway. Like, those are pretty significant changes offensively. You know, I think on a smaller note, like Derek Ryan, I think all the players they added were better up front than the other ones. And even on defense, like, obviously Larson, I think Cody Ceci's better than Larson's better than Ceci. But I would argue that the pair of Keith and Ceci will be better than anyone that Larson had paired with for the majority of the season last year.
Right.
Like, so Larson, like, better Kulikov, than Ceci, right? No question. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Kulikov, they had a good, what, it was 8 or 9 games together. But then, you know, Kulikov showed kind of what he was. If you look at him, historically, he's a guy that can have you good highs, and then he, you know, has real lows, and that's what we saw in the postseason, right? So, you know, there was a small little window, but not a big enough sample size to think that, oh, that was something that would last.
Yeah. And that's fair. I mean, and then you want to contrast it with, like you said, the focus on the Sharks. They brought in Bonino and Cogliano up front. Hey, good veteran NHLers. But they're not going to move the needle that much in terms of vaulting this team up a bunch of spots in the standings, no doubt in the West, and then specifically in the Pacific. So, yeah, if you want to compare and contrast what the Oilers were able to do compared to, like, the San Jose Sharks as we go around to preview teams, because we are encroaching on training camp. I know rookie camp starts around the 15th. They didn't do much. And so Oilers fans, even though some people don't like the moves, and I think it's a vocal minority, you have to admit, like you just said, they are more of a depth offense, and no denying that they should, in theory, be much better. And then, especially when you look at San Jose, absolutely.
Tommy, have yourself a wonderful Tuesday evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Add the man, Gregs.